1320 WILS. We all dream of it. Some of us will actually get there. Retirement. My next guest, the author of the brand new book just out last month, The Essential Retirement Guide. Frederick Vitesse is the chief actuary at Morneau Chapelle. It's one of the largest human resource consulting and technology companies in North America. Frederick, thank you for joining us.
Hi.
Yeah, great to have you here. And you've spent most of your life studying these kinds of issues of retirement. Now, for the average person who just doesn't, looks at their finances and says, no way I can get there, what's the typical mistake they made to get in that predicament?
Well, when they say there's no way they can get there, they aren't even sure where they want to get to. That's actually maybe the biggest problem right there.
Is there a misconception about what retirement really should look like? What is it in reality? How should it look like, would you say?
Well, here's a bunch of things. First of all, one of the biggest findings in my book is that the retirement income target is not 70% of your final earnings, as you'll often hear, at least not if you're going to be, an above-average income earner. It's probably more like 50%. And there are various factors that it depends upon whether you've had children, you're paying a mortgage, and so on. But we actually live most of our lives actually spending less than 40% of our gross income on ourselves. The rest of it goes toward children, mortgages, employment expenses, retirement saving, taxes. And so if we need less than 40% our whole lives, then why is it we suddenly need 70% at retirement? So I would say that's the biggest misconception.
That it's really not that insurmountable to set yourself up.
No, that's right. And this is really, really key. Like, let's say, for example, if you're in maybe, call it, say, for a couple, they have earnings around $100,000. So they're going to get about 30% of their gross income from Social Security pensions in retirement. Call it 30%. So if their total goal is 50 versus 70, it means that they only have to make up 20% versus 40. And it's only half as much as they might have thought they had to make up. And that's a huge difference.
Okay, and that 20% that you're talking about, how do you do it? How do you get that?
Where does it come from?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, for about half of Americans, it's going to be coming from 401k plans. About half of Americans are covered in the private sector are covered by 401k plans. And so they're going to get a big chunk of it from there.
And you just have to hope it'll hang in there, even if the market turns down right as you retire, that kind of thing?
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, the markets are going to have ups and downs decade after decade. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's always going to happen. In fact, on average, you're going to see the stock market have down years, 2 years or 2 or 3 years out of 10 every 10 years. It'll be 2 or 3 down years. And so, but on the other hand, the overall long-term returns are quite positive. So I think you just have to hang in there. And I know it was hard for a lot of people to do with the recession back in 2008, 2009.
But it did turn. Talking to Frederick Vitesse, his brand new book, The Essential Retirement Guide. What's the, do you have a key piece of advice for someone who's has some savings, but they look at they're let's say in their 50s, they look at the savings and they're like, I don't know if I can really, I mean, how do you get there if you have, let's say, 10 years before you want to retire?
Well, yeah, you don't want to start. You want to start at that point in time. Hopefully, you've started before that point. And if you haven't, then you just may have to work longer. Mm-hmm. So here's another thing I found when I was doing my calculations: the amount of money you need. Now, once again, it depends on income, but the amount of money you need to retire at 58 is about 6 times as much as you would need to retire at age 70. Six times. So obviously retirement age has a huge factor. So let's say you're 10 years out, like you're in your 50s, and you're suddenly saying, I want to retire in 10 years, but I haven't started saving yet. Well, you better start, but it also might mean that you may have to hang in there a bit longer as a result.
Why is it 6 times more?
Because you're going to get your Social Security anytime after age 62, the full amount's payable from 66 these days. So you're going to get that. But let's assume you start your Social Security at age 66. So it means that before that age, you have to make up not only, the supplement for the difference between your 50% and your 30. You also have to make up the Social Security as well. And that's the huge difference.
In terms do you have any suggestions in terms of how to allocate your money as you're getting closer to retirement?
Well, you know what? I'd say these days you have no choice but to be investing in stocks. I mean, at least 50% of your money in stocks, maybe more than that. I'm actually more than that invested in stocks myself. And you might say, well, there's a lot of risk in the market. Certainly, it's been a pretty rough couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. But there really is no other choice, because something else I found is that interest rates are likely to be staying very, very low for a long time to come, like, say, 20 or 30 years.
Really?
And that's
we're going to see increases this year, but where are they going to get to?
But minor. It'll be minor. It's not going to be like, you know, well, it's been a bad 2 years because of the recession and the Federal Reserve holding down rates and all that. But don't worry, it's going to go back up again. It's not. And that's because another factor was at work, and that is demographics. The population is aging. And when it ages, what happens is you end up having more savers than borrowers. And so for the last half century, you've had more borrowers than savers. When you have lots of borrowers, a lot of people who want money, a few people who are lending money, it means interest rates are high. Mm-hmm. Now we have just the opposite situation. A lot of people have savings that they want to lend out or get a return on, and fewer borrowers. And as a result of which, it means that interest rates end up being low. So here's the thing. That ratio of savers to borrowers, it's a lot higher than it's ever been, and it's going to be actually getting even higher for the next 20 or 30 years. And it's not just happening in the United States or Canada. It's also happening in Europe. It happened in Japan 25 years ago, and look at what they've had. They've had interest rates around 1% pretty much for the last 25 years.
And is that where you think our interest rate is going to peak?
It is. We're going to probably be seeing interest rates in the twos and three range, 3%
maximum
range, for a long time to come.
For decades.
And as a result, you just can't. You have to buy stocks.
Well, one last thing. You say long-term care insurance does not make sense, but I do want to ask you about that, and also the concern of running out of money as you really get much older. How do you handle that?
Well, so the running out of money, that ends up being the biggest concern people have in retirement, apart from their health, of course, that they're going to run out of money. So the thing is that there's an obvious solution to that, and that is buying an annuity from an insurance company. An annuity pays you a certain fixed amount every single month, you know, for the rest of your life, no matter if you live until 104. Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't everybody buy an annuity if that's what they're concerned about running out? But they don't. Fewer than 5% of people buy an annuity. They end up deciding to manage the money themselves.
I mean, how much money do you have to put into an annuity to?
I'd say you need $100,000 to in order to buy an annuity and get like decent rates, $100,000 to invest.
$100,000. So what kind of monthly income would that give you?
So that's the thing. It is paying about. I guess a 6% annual amount of income. So let's say, for example, $100,000, it pays you $6,000 a year for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. And you might say, well, that doesn't sound like a real lot of money. However, instead of that, what people are doing is managing their own money and obviously very worried about stocks. So they put it in 2%, fixed income. Uh-huh. And they're only paying themselves at 2 or 3% per year instead of 6. So, and on top of that, they still have to worry about running out of their money. Doesn't make a lot of sense.
And the annuities does make sense. Why does long-term care insurance not make sense?
Because long-term care insurance is the opposite of what you want from insurance. You want insurance to have, you know, modest premiums, let's say insurance on your house, but if something really catastrophic happens, you're covered. Mm-hmm. Long-term care insurance is just the opposite. The premiums are very high. They started around $4,000 or $5,000 for decent insurance and go up to over $10,000 a year. So premiums are very high, but if something catastrophic happens, you're not covered. It only covers you up to a certain dollar limit, but everything above that is still your own risk.
Really?
So it's the opposite of what you want.
I thought the long-term care was when things were really falling apart at the end, where you need, what, that like 24/7 help and...
That's right. But it doesn't cover all your expenses. What it does is it covers the most typical kind of a long-term care insurance program is going to be paying you, giving you so much in cash every week. So, like, for example, it might pay $1,200 a week if you qualify. And it'll do that for a limited period of time, like 5 years or whatever. Once again, it depends upon the kind of coverage you buy. But that would be a typical kind of a plan. And if it's if you're buying it when you're 50, and you're going to actually need it when you're 85. Most programs don't cover inflation, and which means that you really are not going to be covering most of your expenses. Yeah. So that's a problem with it.
Are you retiring soon yourself, or?
You know what? That's a really good question. I'm having too much fun doing what I'm doing right now, and you know, and I would say the biggest lesson in my book would be you got to do what you can while you can still do it, because that time is going to pass faster than you think.
I guess you're saying being an actuary is fun. Is that what you just said?
It has been fun these days. I look at retirement issues and I can write about what I'd like to write about.
Frederick Vatese, Chief Actuary at Morneau Chappell, also the author of the brand new book, literally just came out, The Essential Retirement Guide. The Essential Retirement Guide. Frederick, thank you very much.
Well, thank you.